Listen, our gathering this morning, as people have already noted, is really the last one of 2018. And 2018 has been a good year for us. As a church, we are especially thankful and feel blessed to have a number of new people join us this year. And I really mean that. We're so thankful, and we really believe that next year is going to be another good year. About this time every year, I find myself reflecting on what God has done among us and praying about God, what God wants to do with us in the coming year. And usually on the last Sunday of the year, which happens to be today, I share some of what I'm sensing for the next year. And so I want to do that this morning. Since about February of this year, about 10 months ago, the Lord has led me to pray certain things concerning Emmanuel Fellowship. And I've been trying to pray these on a regular basis. And they had to do with the type of church that God wants us to be. And so today I thought I'd share these with everybody because I believe that this is what God wants us to be. And also just want to encourage you to pray as well for these things. And I might say, because there's a number of things, there's actually 10 things I want to cover here. And because of that, I'm not going to actually be going through one passage. I will be referring to passages. And if that's not enough, I can probably give you probably 20 passages for everything I say. But a lot of these things are things that we've talked about before. So, Father, we just want to commit this morning into your hands. And, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through some of the things that we really believe that you want us to do. So thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, first of all, I believe that Emmanuel Fellowship is to be a community devoted to the principles of biblical church life. Now, let me explain that. The Greek word koinonia, of which we've talked about before, means fellowship or means community. And it's often used in the New Testament to describe the local church, the local congregation. Now, I like the word church because it's in the Bible. And because of that, I want to use it. But often, when people hear the word church, what do they think of? Oh, a building over there. Or they think of an institution with a lot of rules and policies and everything. And so because of that, sometimes I interchange the words church and community because they both speak of the local congregation that God brings together to worship him and to serve him in a given area. And perhaps we need to use this word community even more, because I think God does want to see, he wants us to see ourselves as a community, as a family. Actually, the next discipleship group study, which we'll be beginning probably, I told you the beginning of January, it's probably going to be about the third week of January, is going to be on biblical church life or biblical community. So we're going to talk more about this. But I just like to say today that all through the New Testament, there are principles of biblical church life. And when I say principles, they're guidelines, they're things, they're exhortations that if we apply them, God will bless us. In fact, he'll bring a spiritual unity as a result of these things. And they're things such as preserving the unity of the Spirit. They're things like forgiving one another, serving one another, bearing really a lot of the one another's. In fact, we'll probably be talking about that later on in January, the number of one another's in the scriptures. And I think depending on the translation you use, there's about 32 of them. But those are things that should be existing in the local church or community. And embracing these principles will make us a community that will experience spiritual unity and oneness. And so may God, may we understand and live out the principles of biblical church life, biblical koinonia in our midst. And may we be a community devoted to them. You know, the passage I have up here in Acts 2, it gives a description of the early church in Jerusalem. And one of the things we see, it was not just a Sunday morning gathering and people didn't see each other for the rest of the week. The idea is that they gathered together daily. Now, that doesn't mean that every person saw every person in the congregation every day, like they do perhaps when they gather on the first day of the week, Sunday. But it does mean that there's fellowship, there's koinonia going on a regular basis every week among the believers. And that is a community. Second thing, Emmanuel Fellowship is to be a community devoted to discipleship. Now, we all know that all Christians are supposed to be disciples. But what is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, who abides in his word, who is devoted to the teachings of Jesus and tries to live by them. And one of the things that we see when we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, where the teachings of Jesus are, these teachings are really somewhat radical. I mean, look at the Sermon on the Mount. You read it and you think, that's impossible. And you know what? In our own strength, it is impossible. And so Jesus was constantly telling his disciples to do things like love one another as I've loved you. I mean, with agape love. That's impossible. He talks about being a servant to one another. He talks about how the greatest in the kingdom of God is going to be the one who serves and is a slave to others. He talks about forgiveness, unconditional forgiveness. He talks about denying self and taking up our cross daily. He talks about trusting our Father, our Heavenly Father, for all our provisions and not to be anxious about anything. We think, wait a minute, how can that happen? We have to make a living. And he doesn't say we shouldn't be making a living, but he says, don't be anxious about it because my Heavenly Father will provide for you. That's the life I've called you to. And so we see the gospel is full of the teachings, really the radical teachings of Jesus. And a disciple is someone who says, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm devoted to the teachings of Jesus to live them out in my life. And so Emmanuel Fellowship is to be a community committed to discipleship. Now, not only discipleship within us, but we also see that we're committed to making disciples of other people. Because that's what the Great Commission in Matthew 28, right? We're called to make disciples of who? Of people from all the world. And teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And so we're committed not only to see discipleship in our life, in our own personal life, but we're committed to disciple other people. One of the purposes of our discipleship groups, and I know some of you are fairly new, just joining us this fall, but we're designing these discipleship groups, and we're going through 5 books over the next year or so, already been doing it for over a year, in which we're going through just the basics of Christian discipleship. And you might say, well, I already know all that. Well, the question isn't whether or not we know it up here, but what is it? Is it, are we living it out? And that's, so we've tried to design these groups to where we talk about in our own personal lives, what are we missing? What do we need to strengthen inside of us? So we're going to be starting these back up again in a few more weeks. And I just encourage you that if you haven't been a part, that you really make that a high priority. And not just to attend, but to study and pray. God, I want these things to be part of my life. That's what God is calling us to. Now, Being devoted to discipleship is also, it also means a commitment to what? His word. To study it, to obey it, to get it deep within us where it can transform us. John 8:31, Jesus talks about that a disciple is someone who is committed to God's word, and a person that lets God's word abide in us. Colossians 3 talks about, let the word of Christ richly live within us. That's what we want. So may we be a community devoted to biblical discipleship that comes from a life of studying and obeying his word. Now, these are things that we want to pray for our church. Are we there completely? No. I like to think that we're at least on our way, but we have room to grow in all these things. Also, Emmanuel Fellowship is to be a community devoted to true worship. You know, John 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he talks about the true worshipers. And that makes me think that there must be such a thing as a not-so-true worshiper. You know, in other words, and we know that, some people worship is only a ritual. It's a tradition. People go through the motions of it, but it's not flowing from the heart. So when we pray that God would make us a community of true worshipers, that means that something is flowing out of our hearts, that we love the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and with all our soul, that we see ourselves as Jesus sees us, as the bride of Christ, and we are in love with the bridegroom, Jesus. We love being in his presence. We love hearing his voice, waiting for him. You know, in the book of Revelation, Jesus has a message to seven different churches. Great messages. But to one of them, the church of Ephesus, he says, you know, you do great. You're committed to my word. You have strong doctrine. But you have left your first love. And may the Lord never say that about us. In fact, if there's anything that we are strong in, that we love the Lord from a pure heart. We're not cold. We're not lukewarm in our love for him. But our love for him is burning hot. It's on fire for him. Because we know that our love for him is essential for any service to him. And so we are committed to nourish our relationship with God on a constant basis. We also express our love and our worship to the Lamb of God through praises, even the high praises of God, as we talked about on the retreat a couple months ago. And so we express it through thanksgiving, through song, through dance, through bowing before him, prostrating ourselves, clapping our hands, raising our hands to him, shouting his praises. Those are all biblical expressions of a heart that's given to worship. And I know this was the theme of our retreat back in October, but I just want to say I believe the Lord has much more for us in this whole area of worship. He wants worship to be a time that we are expressing and just our whole heart to him, and that he's speaking to us on a regular basis. So may we become a community of worshipers and be a worshiping community. Emmanuel Fellowship also, I believe, is to be a community that has a heart for the lost of this world. In other words, we're not just inward-looking community that we enjoy our time with one another, sure, but we also believe that God wants to add to our number. He wants to bring about a great harvest in the world today, including here in Summit County. He wants revival to break loose. And so we recognize that God has given us a calling to evangelize those around us. That means to share the good news. It means reaching the lost and those who are walking in darkness. By the way, those are two descriptions that the scriptures give. Someone who is lost is what? Someone who can't find their way. They're just wandering around. And that really describes people who don't know the Lord. They're looking around. They may think they know where they're going. But once they get there, they realize, no, wait a minute. I've already been here before. And so, in fact, if you've done much hiking out in the forest here, in fact, I used to try to get myself lost when I was younger and then try to find my way back. You know, to me, it was like a challenge. And if you have a compass and of course, with the mountains here in Colorado, it's pretty easy to do. But I can remember once taking a group of young people to West Virginia. In West Virginia, there's just all sorts of mountains. There's not mountain chains. They're just mountains. And I remember just, let's just take off without a trail. Or we went about a day. And then we decided, okay, we made it a game. Now let's try to find ourselves back to the car. And we're going to do this in 3 days. It was a lot of fun. But if you're lost, sometimes you go around in circles. You know, you think, wait a minute, I've been here before. And that's a perfect description of mankind. Sometimes we think we know what we're doing, only to find out, I've been here before. I'm going around in circles. That's why Jesus, well, and God in the Old Testament too, uses the word lost. Another description is people who are walking around in darkness. There's no light to show the way. And so they're always bumping into walls. They're tripping over themselves. And that's the life that many people, that it describes people very well who don't know the Lord. Well, our responsibility is to have a heart and to share the gospel with the lost and those who are walking in darkness. In fact, we want to see people as God sees them. How is that? They're precious people. God has compassion on the lost of this world. In fact, Jesus even gave that parable. Remember, if you have 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what? He leaves the others there and goes out searching for the lost one. That's the heart we are to have. And so God wants us to have a compassion for people. And you know what? I have to admit, my compassion from the Lord, my compassion for people needs to grow. And I think all of ours needs to grow. So may the Lord give us a compassion for people. And may the Lord give us the ability to communicate the gospel with those who are lost and walking in darkness. God doesn't want us just to have compassion, but He wants us to have passion. Passion to share the gospel with others, to share the words of eternal life. The world is looking for authentic Christianity. I really believe that. They may not say that, but they are. And unfortunately, sometimes when they look at the church and God's people, they see phoniness. They see we're kind of just like them. Our priorities are on external things rather than the internal things. God wants to change that, really for the church across the board, that we become more authentic and people will want to hear what we have to say. There have been a number of studies been done, really, for the last 30, 40 years on just the religious hunger of people in the United States. And almost all of them, even up through 2018, show that a good 90% of people who are living in this country believe in God. Now, they may not believe in the church, And they're certainly not going. But what does that tell us? That there's something inside of people they want to know the truth. And we've been given that responsibility to share that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about how we are ambassadors for his kingdom here on earth. And how we've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling man with God. By the way, you know, I said about 90% believe in God. I really believe that the other 10% who say they don't believe in God could easily be persuaded if they saw something real. In fact, some of the strongest people who become Christians started off as atheists. You know, and then God just had a way of just breaking through to them. And so really, there's 100% of the people of this country that we need to be reaching out to. May we be a community that God is using to bring people into his kingdom. Emmanuel Fellowship is to be a community with a heart for the nations. Yes, that's God's heart. For his people to be made up of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And the scriptures, we don't have time to go there today, talk about how the church community is blessed when its focus is on the nations. It's one of God's secrets to being blessed. Have a heart for the nations. Now it begins in our own neighborhoods and towns, because God has brought people from around the world to our particular county, way up in the mountains of Colorado. And why has he done that? Now, I know that a lot of those people would say, oh, no, God didn't bring me that here. I came here to try to find peace. Or I came here for this reason. But I believe that God brought them here. And why is that? That we would reach out to them with the good news of the gospel. But our focus isn't just here in Summit County. God, it's on the world, too. All the nations, including Israel, because Israel is one that God specifically mentions that we need to have a burden for and pray for, but really all the nations. So as a church, we're not going to be afraid or intimidated by other peoples, including Muslims. Now, I know that some people, and it's kind of been more pop, it's kind of a trendy thing now, or no, that's not really the right word, but many people, they are intimidated by Muslims. They're terrorists. You know what? Most of them are just like us. In fact, all of them have been created by God, and all of them are in need of hearing the gospel. And so our heart, our compassion, our passion is for all the peoples of the world. And with time, we believe that God will send teams from our community to plant other communities among the nations. When, how, who, I don't know, but God will show us. So may God give us an increased heart and compassion for the nations of the world. Emmanuel Fellowship is also to be a multicultural and a multi-generational community. We've talked a lot recently about being a multicultural community, so I won't say much about that, but also a multi-generational community. Our desire is to have lots of children, I think we got that, have lots of teens, adults of every age, and all of them in love with Jesus. All of them, every group, including the children, serving him, hearing God, worshiping, praying. Is it possible for even kids to be able to pray and worship and hear from God and share? Of course it is. You know, that's God's plan for us. And by the way, may God raise up more workers to minister, to, especially to our children. Judy was telling me earlier this week, she said, Mike, do you realize how many teens we're going to have in about another 5-7 years? I mean, like, there's going to be 100 of them, you know. And you know what? That's great. Praise the Lord for that. So may we all, from all ages, be filled with a wholehearted devotion to God, a devotion to service and to ministry. That's what God wants to do. Emmanuel Fellowship is to be a community of faith. In other words, we believe God wants and will work supernaturally or move supernaturally among us. To open doors, perhaps in other places of the world, perhaps. Open doors around here. Open hearts. Transform lives. Provide finances. Heal the sick and heal the soul. Because that's you know, Romans 4 talks about how God calls into being that which does not exist. So God wants us to be a community of faith. Soon, I believe, we're going to need to start praying and have a lot of faith for larger and more permanent facilities. Now, the good news, God has to do it because it'd be impossible ourselves, right? Especially here. And I'm sure we'll be talking more about this in the months to come. But for almost 20 years, we have been meeting in rented facilities. And by the way, having our own facilities does not validate us as a church. You know, for us, it's something practical. But as we grow and get more involved in other places, we believe that God is wanting to give us our own facilities to serve as a base of ministry for here in the county and elsewhere. So may God make us into that community of faith. Emmanuel Fellowship is also to be a community of giving, givers. Of course, that's tied closely to faith. And Manuel's testimony was an example of how God's already doing that. But if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we see that God blesses as we give to others. Blesses us spiritually, especially. But he takes care of everything as we give to others. And so we want to be a community that sees giving as a privilege, as an honor, as a high calling. In fact, we've talked about this before. We want to be people who look for ways to give more. We're not content to give at the same level as we currently are or we've done in the past. And by the way, giving is, yeah, it includes money, but it includes more than that. It includes our time, includes reaching out to the most vulnerable of our society. It includes hospitality. And so God wants us to be a community of hospitality. It's a calling. And I see us in the future hosting more people from other places. And we should see this as a form of giving that's honorable to him. And we don't care about the inconveniences or the cost involved. We just want to serve other people in hospitality. Hebrews 13, the second verse, it talks about some have even entertained angels as a result of their generous hospitality. Probably talking about Abraham, you know. And so Hebrews 13 is exhorting us to show hospitality. It says to strangers, literally that means to immigrants, you know. And so we want to be a community that does that. So may we increasingly be a community of givers and giving. Emmanuel Fellowship is also to be a community that is constantly raising up godly workers and leaders. In Matthew 9, Jesus is looking out over the multitude, and it says he had compassion for them because they were lost and because they were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. And what did he say? He goes on to talk about the harvest is great, but the workers are few. In other words, the harvest isn't the problem. It's the lack of workers. And we're specifically to pray for more workers. And as we grow and in the future plant other communities, there's a need for more workers. And so we need to begin to pray for more workers. Actually, if we've been called to be a disciple or called to be a fisher of men, which we have been, we've also been called to be workers. So really, all of us are being prepared for more of what God has for us. And I really believe as we, in the coming years, as we see the great harvest break out around the world, there's a need for more and more workers. And God is preparing all of us even today. You know, sometimes we kind of wonder about the difficult things that come our way in life. You know what? God's using those things to strengthen us, to purify our motivations, to bring us to the place that we're not content with anything except for eternal things. So when we kind of face difficulties in this life, just know that God is wanting to use those to prepare us for the great harvest, to be more of an effective worker. So may the Lord multiply workers and leaders among us. And going along with that, may we discover what our gifts are, and may we begin to move in the gifts that God's called us. So may we see a multiplication of workers in our midst. And then the tenth thing, Emmanuel Fellowship is to be a community of prayer. Now, I could have made this first, because it's really necessary for all the other things to come into reality, isn't it? Because only God can fashion us into the type of community that we've been talking about. But I chose to save this for last because perhaps this will be the one that we'll leave with. None of what we've said before can happen without God-breathed prayer on the part of all of us. So over the next several years, God wants to raise us up to be a community of prayer. I'm talking about children, teens, young adults, medium adults, older people, elderly people, whoever God adds to us. It means Americans and Mexicans and people from Nicaragua and Guatemala and whoever God adds to us. All of us. He wants to make us a community of prayer. Prayer for our church community, that we'd be able to maintain the unity and the blessing that God's given us. For our neighborhoods, because we want to see more people come to know Him. For our county, but also for countries and cities and peoples in the other part of the world. May the Lord raise up intercession, that we see ourselves called to intercede for the world. God wants to teach us more about spiritual warfare, tearing down the spiritual strongholds that are keeping people enslaved to sin and to the kingdom of darkness. Jesus, in Mark 11, verse 17, He declares that His church shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. That's God's desire for us. May we become that house of prayer for all the nations. Now, a lot of that's not going to happen overnight. But one of the things we want to see in 2019 is that we begin to pray more and ask God to do something deep inside of us. We're still trying to figure out all the details of how we want to do this, but we want to have probably once a month a time of prayer and fasting. Probably 2 days, I don't know. Maybe sometimes we may make it a week, I don't know. And I know that there's probably some people here can't fast because of the medication, or in this church there's always a handful of people that are pregnant or nursing, you know. There may be reasons people can't. There may be some months people may be gone. But let's make a commitment to really ask God to take us to a new level of prayer this year. Can we do that this coming year? And so on January, 17th and 18th, Thursday and Friday, you might say, you know, it's impossible for me to fast on Friday. We'll do it on Wednesday and Thursday. You know, the important thing is that we begin to seek God and pray for all these things we've talked about, because this is the type of community that God wants us to be. And it starts as we become a community of prayer, a house of prayer for all the nations. Well, listen, there's a lot more that we could probably say about other things that he wants us to be. And probably every one of these things, we probably could have taken 3 or 4 messages. But my purpose this morning was at least give us an outline of some things that God wants to do among us in 2019 and the years to come. And I'm sure we'll be talking much more about all these in the months to come. But let's begin by praying for these things. Can we do that? Why don't we stand now? Let me just kind of lead us in prayer. Father, we believe that you have called us together from various parts of the world. Lord, probably very few of us, when we were 5 or 10 years old, unless we're children right now, probably ever would have dreamed that we'd be living in Colorado one day, and that you would be putting together a community of people from around the world. Lord, this is your work. And we ask, Lord, that you would mold us into the church community that you've called us to be, a community that's devoted to biblical discipleship, that we would become a worshiping community, that we would be a community that's multi-generational and multicultural. We'd be a community of givers. We'd be a community of prayer, that we'd be a community of all these things, Lord, that we've talked about, of faith. Lord, we acknowledge to you the inner selves, Lord, we get too easily distracted. Lord, we get offended at one another. There's so many things. We look after ourselves more than others. Lord, that's our natural self. But Lord, you're transforming us. You're transforming us into a community that's devoted to the radical teachings of Jesus, where we deny ourselves, where we forgive one another, where we honor and prefer one another more than ourselves. Lord, these are things that we ask that you would do inside of us. Lord, begin by making us a prayer of community. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.